Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the 5th anniversary. This is Austin Theory, and you're listening to WrestleCast Radio all day.
Hey, hello to all my friends of WrestleCast Radio. This is Flip Gordon, and I'm very excited to introduce you to one of my favorite wrestling radio shows.
Hey, what's up, guys, from WrestleCast Radio. This is Humberto Carrillo, WWE Superstar.
You are listening to WrestleCast Radio.
El Latino está en la casa, baby. Welcome to WrestleCast Radio.
Hello there. This is the Aerial Assassin, Will Ospreay, coming from you live from the Tokyo Dome in Japan. And you are listening to WrestleCast Radio.
What's going on? This is the man of the hour, Leo Rush, the 24-year-old piece of gold himself, and you are officially listening to WrestleCast Radio.
Shit. Time to get down, y'all. Time to get down, get funky. With your boy, Two Cold Scorpio. Get ready to open up this show live right here on the WrestleCast Radio. That's right. So if y'all already don't know, now you know. This is your boy, Two Cold, and I'm ready to get funky. So everybody out there, turn it up. Let's do this.
This is WrestleCast Radio.
Episode number 183 here at WrestleCast Radio, rocking and rolling. After a little bit of a hiatus, but don't give us no hatatris. We'll talk to our man, Alec Tris.
Man, are you excited to spend $150 Tris for some almost Tris on that cameo Tris?
Ooh, what's on there for 150 ducats?
Almost. Has he said anything in his life? Almost.
Are we? Omatris. are we late night? Or are we still not yet late night? So I can give you my answer.
Oh, we're late night. There we go. Timo Solani, the best hockey player of the 90s, some would say mid to late 90s. Your favorite hockey player is way less than almost. What are your thoughts on that?
Wait, is he actually on there?
Timo Solani, yes. He is on Cameo.
Shit, I'm going to Cameo right now. Timo Solani. $100. Timo Solani is on Cameo. Holy shit. I have no idea why I need to do this, but he's going to open WrestleCast. There's no physical reason for this to happen.
But he's like, I had one like a click away for you from like your birthday and a bunch of like random stuff. And I had all these news and notes where I was like, I don't know if Ryan would find this either the funniest/, you know, like happy, or like one of the meanest things ever.
What, almost?
So
I like Timo Solani.
It was amazing. Like I had all this stuff, and I was like, I don't know how he's gonna say this. Like I don't want to ruin the image of one Timo Solani, even though
like,
that picture
Ryan,
will live in infamy.
You met me in the locker room at the Wild game. You were drunk, and you look like a goddamn Make-A-Wish kid. But I've never seen someone so happy. Pawn Day replay.
Oh, that jersey.
Yeah, that jersey's, look, it's never been washed.
You have it framed, right?
No. Just sitting in my closet. Never been washed. I think eventually the puke got hard and I just broke it off. I think Alex has officially been disgusted. or he got booted. One of the two. Oh, man, almost for $150. I almost wasn't going to do it. Yeah, I just, there's no physical reason we should have Timo Solani do our show, but I'm just like, I mean, what can I say? Like, okay, we got, let's just check this out. Let's see this guy.
And Tiffany, it's a Timo Solani here. Hope all is well. Well, I heard a great news. I heard you guys get your first baby. Little girl, so may real.
Since I can't have one, I'm playing one of somebody else's about a baby.
Hello,
I've been going on about this the whole time.
Listen to WrestleCast Radio.
Yeah, I said, I think the puke dried off, and then I broke it off, and then you stopped talking, and I was like, either he's disgusted, or he got booted. So then in the silence,
just a fun night.
I just played
everywhere.
Just played that instead.
The four of us, we were everywhere that night. Five, I think six. Wow.
Well, because we went to, you met us at Allery's.
Yeah. Me and Silk Nasty.
Yeah. And then I called my mom crying.
Yeah.
And my mom like thought I got mugged or like got assaulted. After the game, and I was like, I just met Timo. And she's like, oh, I get it now. She's like, that's amazing. I met him. And the dude that gave us
power
ride,
of
like,
Yahweh,
sorry,
man.
That's enough fun. And I was like, fuck you. You don't know what this means to me. Asshole. I was all defensive and shit.
Yeah, her brother was a dick.
Yeah, he was. We should have took him out back and beat his burly ass.
Should have, but it was Allery's, and that was a way different time and a way different era. But we all remember you puking on the ride home.
Yeah. Right. I'm just glad I didn't puke.
But it's
on
not
the
worst that happened, unfortunately. R.I.P. to that house, which just sold. As I found out.
R.I.P. Yeah, I'm just kind of.
R.I.P. to that garage door.
The garage door, the screen door too, and the cute little stools under the table was my favorite.
Hey, those still lasted. I found out.
I will never forget waking up just blitzkrieg from the night before, and I'm the only person in the house.
Yep.
And I look over and I just see like two pieces of wood in each hand, and they fell out like a TV show. Like, oh my! And I was like, oh fuck. What do I do? And I was like, can I take a shower? And I was like, oh,
you can also get Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley for $150 on Cameo, partnering with WWE through April 9th. That was, what did we do back then? Segments. Holy shit.
We were tight. Sometimes you just gotta.
We were.
You just gotta own up to it and enjoy. Made stupid decisions, and it is what it is.
I was on one, as they say, in that era of my life. But AJ Styles, $400. You could ask him his flat earth, theories. Randy Orton, is it really as big as Soldier Boy? Or bigger, we should say, than the whole length of Soldier Boy. And Shane McMahon, rounding it out at $500 as well. Here comes the money. Ryan, what would you want Shane McMahon to say in your personalized cameo for 500 ducats?
Hey, Ryan, Shane O'Mac here, and I'm inviting you to Raw Underground, where you can fight Banzai Boosie on the mat. And that's it. That's all I wanted to say.
Like, the whole video has to, like, it would be moot if he wasn't, like, beat red, right, after saying all that.
Yeah. Hey, Ryan, thanks for your concern that I'm always red and sweaty after cutting promos, not even wrestling. I just want you to know that I just sweat a lot and everything's okay. I've been checked out by the doctor, the same one who told Charlotte that she's pregnant. Oh, right.
But I'm something. Tranquilo, little baby player.
I need to tranquilo myself as well. I'm going to try to figure out how to do this without burning my place down. And also,
what is it? Making a pizza after cutting ourselves lifting weights?
Another fantastic. No, I got pizza rolls in the oven. and I'm bringing the laptop fucking kitchen while I have my headset on. I'm going to try to take these out of the oven without burning the wires or myself.
Burning the wires. Otherwise, you can get Oscar, Cesaro, Riddle, The Miz, Sami Zayn, Bobby Lashley, your champion heading into Mania, John Morrison, Bianca Belair, who would have won the EST of CAMEO, Apollo Crews, do you get the Nigerian drum circle, Kevin Owens, Drew McIntyre, Biggie, Sheamus, Kofi, Braun, Xavier Woods, how is Braun? Who says, you know, save your money, don't be poor and a loser, only charging $250. Shouldn't he be at that 500 McMahon range?
I want to know how these guys are charging so much damn money when, like, before they weren't even that much. Like I'm not going to lie.
Because the E probably gets, like, 75% of it, and then Cameo gets, like, 15, so they get, like, 8%.
Like, I can't lie. Obviously, the intros that I had, I definitely – use that app for some of these.
What do you mean? They were all love because they're all fans of the WrestleCast Radio.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't forget, rate and review on Apple Podcasts.
I got like Humberto Carrillo for like $10.
Now he's charging $62.
$62? He's even on TV for 6 months. He's an idiot. and like, Austin Theory was $10.
Man.
You know, fun fact, Will Ospreay was only $10.
Really?
And now he's charging like $100.
Good thing we got the... God bless to us that we got him on the cheap. How much do you think a newly ousted ESPN NBA analyst Paul Pierce will be charging so he could bring to all wonderful dancers
that
he could Instagram
he got fired?
Live? Yeah.
I didn't know he got fired. I thought Jordan just sent it. I have a group chat with Jordan and Elijah.
Uh-huh.
And Jordan sent that to that group, but I thought that it meant that he was going to get fired because of it. But I know he actually got fired. Paul Pierce, I'm going to go 250.
250, okay. What is he going to say, though? I mean, he's kind of on the interesting side of things.
Paul Pierce, I'm sorry, I'm a fat piece of shit. I'm eating on the air.
Wait, that's Paul Pierce's cameo, huh? Wow, I mean, when you're retired, I suppose you can do anything. But... he is done, though. I mean, do you think he should have been fired from ESPN for having, I mean, maybe he's vaccinated, right? He's had a few, you know, exotic dances with him.
Look, you can't fault no grown man who's got two NBA rings, I believe, one or two. No, I think he's got one because Kobe didn't
one,
let him
yeah.
one. That's why I don't like him because he stopped Kobe from getting six. Punk-ass Paul Pierce.
Back-to-back finals.
Look, you mean to tell me that the rest of them dudes aren't trying to get some PU double dollar sign Y? Let's be honest.
Cardi B
song
styles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy because it seems like.
Let me say this. Let me cut you off for a second. I'm gonna say something that I don't mean this is really happening, but like you kind of get that vibe. You mean to tell me every time Rachel Nichols is out there interviewing them, she's not like, hey, you know who I am, right? While we go, like, Rachel Nichols wants herself an NBA player. You see her out there?
No. She's a professional. She is a mother and a loving wife. No.
I bet she's great at it. I like Rachel Nichols. But since she be like, well, what she did last night, Paul Pierce.
Paul Pierce, yeah, but, she's, yeah.
Let's not forget when... Before Michelle Beadle quit or got fired, I don't remember what happened. What happened to Beadle?
I think she just dipped.
She just had enough of it?
Yeah. God, I miss Michelle Beadle. What is she doing now?
This gem where she dogged Paul. This is why I don't have any respect for Paul Pierce. Listen to this.
Like I said, if you put them in the Eastern Conference, they could be fighting for that playoff spot also.
Splitting an award, though, man.
Yeah, I mean, I can't take it. It's either one. Because, see, there's an asterisk on Ben Simmons. Because
hold on, there's a what?
There's an asterisk. Because he's in his second year. He had a chance to...
Asterisk.
You are killing me tonight.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
It's like East Coast killing me.
You guys, y'all just speak proper English.
We
every
do,
second.
Paul.
But anyway.
Paul Pierce said they've been ostriched.
Ostrich-sized? I mean, that makes a little more sense.
What is an idiot?
Yeah, I never was fond of his analysis. But some could say the same about mine, so.
Yeah, but you're also not a NBA champion who's made hundreds of millions of dollars and was on ESPN. We hope to do one show a week on Blog Talk Radio. I think you're okay. I think you're doing just great, Alex. And the fact that we might come back and do another show like tomorrow or something or Thursday, Dios mío.
Mania season.
We tell the people we're coming back with another show this week, and we don't show back up that week. I'm just letting them know.
Hey,
we come back.
We'll show up in 3 weeks sometime.
We got you covered, but. How it goes, but you know, we're hardworking men. You know, Paul Pierce gets paid to do this for his living, and he doesn't even know the word ostracized or whatever, or asterisk was the word.
Wait, no, I'm pretty sure he meant ostrich.
God bless.
Hey, who's tranquilo now, dickhead?
I
love how Jordan always, like, misses the point of a joke. Even when there's really not, like, a point to the joke.
Yo, what are all them dudes going to do to that poor woman?
Well, it's because Daniel Bryan always inserts himself into, you know, a main event.
Yes. Oh, man. Now that we got
just a bunch of dentists.
I'm looking at the read sheet here. So I have a confession to make to you.
Uh-oh.
That aside from Akiyama Higuchi, I didn't watch DDT. You're going to have to leave that.
Whoa!
I thought I was going to get it in. And then Stardom had their big show with the big B. Priestley angle. And I said I have
to
watch. To
WWE NXT UK angle? What?
Yeah, but her match with Utami Hayashi Shida was like, this is my last match, so I'm going to do everything I can type match.
So that's why she got Randy Orton by Will Ospreay? And everyone yelled spousal abuse? Remember that?
Yeah,
they were like, hey.
You know, I'm going to say something that's going to piss people off.
Uh-oh.
It's called writing a character out of the territory.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
When they did that, I was like, I don't get why everyone's so up in arms. Like, he's just writing her off. Like, she did what she needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is the further the angle. It's not like he's, like, kicked her out of the house, out of their flats.
No.
Do they call them flats in Japan? You were there.
He's like, because I love nothing more than this or whatever, and I'll prove it. And he, bam, takes her out. Everybody wants everybody to be considered equal, but then when they write somebody out of an angle, oh, you can't do that to a woman. Well, then don't say you want them equal.
Young, R.I.P.
Don't try to make the men and women equal in wrestling if you're going to not like them writing a character out of a storyline, because you can't have your cake and eat it too. I'm sorry. That just doesn't work that way. I understand people don't like the whole, oh, you shouldn't do that to women. Okay, fine. But then don't be the same person that's dying on the ship saying that they should be looked at in the same spotlight then, because you're not letting them be in that spotlight because you won't let them be in angles like that.
He did a move. It's not like he repeatedly was striking her or choking her. Not saying, you know, again, it wasn't like that obscene where, you know, I woke up and like saw these like wrestling memes and threads and cries. And I'm like, all right. Then I saw it myself. I was like, oh, I remember Randy Orton did that like 12 years ago.
All right. It is what it is. Like, I understand people like, holy crap. But it's just like, it is, dude, you're trying to get heat, and you're writing somebody out of a storyline.
Is the best thing to do now, is, you know, especially as an up-and-comer or you're trying to, you know, break through, if you will, is to lose at Wrestle Kingdom? Is that the thing to do, do you think?
I think so, because you get them on there. Jordan said, oh, got it. After I said yes, 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 yes.
Whoa, Jay White.
Like he thinks your picture is Daniel Bryan endorsing what them five men are about to do.
Punjabi prison. Oh no, I didn't even mean that connotation. But it fits.
Look, I gotta say that this Stardom show, I didn't finish it yet. It's on that one website that I won't say what it is, so
oh,
I wouldn't still
so
use
it's
it.
Not on the Stardom site yet?
No, because it was a pay-per-view. But
oh.
I watched the first link of the three links, like the yep. first hour. Dude, I went like 3 3/4 and I think 4 stars on like the second and third match.
Did Julia get relegated to the bottom of the card?
Julia's actually in the main event.
Really? Okay, I was afraid they were going to, like, since they shaved her, I didn't know if they're going to, like, you know, repackage her and rebuild her, you know, through a year crusade or whatnot.
No, so this was the kicker, is the white belt match with Tam Nakano versus Natsupoi was third to last. And then the semi-main event was Utami Hayashi Shida against B. Priestley. And then the main event was Himeka and Maika versus Julia and Shuri for the tag titles in the
Whoa.
Donna Del Mundo versus Donna Del Mundo.
I was about to say, Himeka, who I enjoy immensely, and then when I heard Julia on the opposite side, so what's going on here? Is this
just challenged
just
them.
A match?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a breakup or anything, right?
No, they just wanted a tag title shot.
Okay, I dig it. You don't get that in wrestling anymore. That's why I was really confused. I'm like, what? Fight for the sport of it? Who would have thought?
The opener was Azumi, Hina, and Lady C. I went 2 3/4. The third match was Unagi.
Starline?
I never remember her last name, but the chick, she's in the Cosmic Angels. Her and Sayat Kamatani. I went 3.5. But the second match, Momo Watanabe against our girl Mina Shirakawa that we love.
Uh-huh.
I went 4.5.
Whoa.
Momo Watanabe treated this match like she's fighting a real enemy. Like, she pulled nothing in this whole match. Like, this was almost like a rite of passage. And the whole time this is, and that's kind of what it felt like in the Saya Kamatani match too. But Shirakawa took all of it and gave it back, and Momo was putting it all over. It was so good. I watched it. I was like, holy shit, this was awesome. So I got to watch
Alrighty.
The Stars match. It's Mayu Iwatani, Goki Gan Death, Saya Iida, Starlight Kid, and Hana against Ueno Tai, Netsuko Tora, Saki
Wait,
Tachima,
so did I
Konami
spoil
Mina,
the B. Priestley gimmick?
Yeah, I haven't watched her and Utami yet, but I knew she was leaving, so I know she's going to lose.
Okay. What if they swerve you, though? I don't know who wins the match. I just know that she's oot.
I guess that's true. I would assume she lost. But I heard it's just tremendous.
So
sure
is it
going to
be her and Amiko as a new team, or what do you think?
I don't know. Like, there's a lot they can do with that. I'm really surprised they brought her over. I'm not going to lie. I totally think the reason I know they tried to sign her before she even initially went to AEW. So they wanted her for a while.
Yep.
But I really think it's so they have their foot in the door with Mr. God Bless himself. I really do.
Why?
Why wouldn't you want him on your roster?
So he's just ricocheted to the bottom, huh? Like, that's the sad part. Like, I read an article. It was like, these are the superstars missing from Mania. And, like, I saw 10 that I was like, how did they not make space for two nights, out of two nights, for at least half of these 10 superstars that easily deserve a spot in the Mania.
Because they're doing the Battle Royal on SmackDown.
On SmackDown, which is ridiculous. And these shows are starting at 7 our time. Why are they going to go 4 hours per night? If not more.
Wait, they're starting 7 Central?
Yeah. It's 8 Eastern.
That means, yeah, they're not even, so that means they're not even starting until 8 o'clock.
Yep, that's what I don't get.
For a lot, wow. That's dumb. Like, you know they're
especially
not going to be done.
Especially on a Sunday.
Like, they're not going to be done in, like, short order.
No. And they've added more matches. Like, I was reading the match lineup, and it wasn't even, like, rumored to be. And I was like, oh, my God. Well, we'll save that for tomorrow's show. Our big WrestleCast Radio WrestleMania Weekend Extravaganza preview.
That show's going to be tight. So, let's get into DDT. It's at the top of the run sheet. I got to tell you, I'll go over this quick so that you can run over the rest of the show. And then I'll mute myself and finish these damn pizza rolls so I stop eating on air. Higuchi Akiyama beat the shit out of each other. Everything
loved
was
it.
Great. Loved everything they're doing. But holy shit, man. Somebody needs to tell either Higuchi or tell Akiyama with his offense that you
not
can't work the right arm for 20 minutes, and then suddenly Higuchi throws 20 lariats and chops without even selling. Like, he didn't even shake his arm or anything. He literally just fired up and acted like nothing. Like, oh, he must have been working my left arm the whole time because the right is. And you know, I don't complain often about that stuff. Like, sometimes I do, but I was just like, man.
Especially with Akiyama, you would think would be a stickler for that type of detail. I even put outstanding 5 minutes to the end of the match, a little overdone, especially with the forgetting of the arm, but the dramatics were still there. You know, I was like, there was like falsies. Just there was too many of them. You don't need that in this type of match.
No, it was a great match. They worked hard. And, you know, I really like both these guys, but like sometimes it's just okay. Now you're really pushing the disbelief factor here. Like
maybe it was the German to exploder to the German to exploder spot that that kind of jarred that arm back into motion.
Oh, there you go. See, now you saved the match for me. Thank you for saying that.
Just popped it out.
It's just like, but I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, I'm surprised Akiyama didn't tell him, don't do that. Or when he started doing it, Akiyama was like, you need to sell after you chop me.
Yeah.
Because Akiyama was just taking it and bumping for him like it was no big deal. And I'm like, Uncle June. Why didn't you just work the left arm then? And I understand I'm working the right arm to limit you from your offense, but then he does it anyway, like it didn't matter. So now you've told me the entire 7/8 of this match I watched didn't mean shit. Like, and it just took me out of it. Otherwise, I thought it was really good. You know, it's like the Iron Sheik. Otherwise, everything else is fine. But man,
When he's getting his dong reached after from the challenger, who we'll get into here in a bit.
Oh,
there, but
man.
Yeah, no, I thought for Akiyama's first defense, you know, for the KOD open weight championship here, you know, I thought this was a fine competitor. Of course, now Kazusada Higuchi will be upon Akiyama's beck and call. So that's why he kind of put the belt on him after the match there. So essentially, he just has to, you know, be a young boy all over again with sumo skills. What do you think is going to be the most craziest task Akiyama's going to have Higuchi do?
He's going to have to make that soup that Akiyama liked so much in All Japan that Francisco Akira used to have to make.
Whoa. What if they do a crossover with that? Akira's just in the background making soup. The camera sees him and he does like a surprise, like, oh, like, look, like, you caught me.
He walks off screen real quick, like when Renee Young was on TV and Moxley walked in to pick up the dog. And then, oh, shit. Hey, guys.
Speaking of that, starting off DDT Judgments at 2021, Chris Brooks and Tohei Kojima took on Yusuke Okada, newly signed Okada, and Yuki Ueno. Little fun, quick matchup here. It was nice to see Okada be dominant throughout, Okada making Kojima tap, which I am assuming, Ryan, here, Tohei Kojima, is he kind of like a fresh wrestler, like within about 2 years? He looked relatively new to me.
Yeah, he's newer than, like, Keigo Nakamura.
Okay. Because Nakamura was usually with the other guy, who's not Kojima, right?
Yeah, Hideki Okatani.
The one who ended up in Dino's bed?
The one that you called, like, Ojima?
Yeah. That guy. I forgot about that guy. Soma Takao took on Hideki Okatani. Of course, Okatani starting fast and a furious forearms to try to get, you know, the champ, phase. But Takao, of course, gets him to the outside where he took control. As much as Okatani showed that fighting spirit, Soma Takao just, of course, showing more heart. And, of course, the important thing, the strength as the gin and tonic was hit to end that matchup there. Six-man tag team match. I don't know what to say, Ryan. Of course, when it involves, Don Shakudino, it involves electrical outages. It also involves someone's head going into his ass in order for the power to come back on into the arena. But this time, unfortunately, all of a sudden I heard a music that sounded reminiscent of William Friedkin's classic from 1970, The Exorcist. And I'm like, what's going on? As the lights are flickering on and off. And then, of course, Makoto Oishi, who was thrusted by his opponents into his partner's butts. As I tell my daughter, hey, you might want to check this part out. You're going to see this dude's head going through this guy's butt. She looks up from her Roblox and be like, what? And then she looks and she's like, it didn't go in his butt. I was like, touche. So she actually thought he was going to get rear-headed. But Oishi, all of a sudden, as he's stuck into Dino's anus, which is hilarious, all of a sudden, again, the Exorcist theme is playing, and Oishi turns into a zombie, Ryan, a new breed of professional wrestler in DDT Pro. He's a zombie. He's walking towards the turnbuckle. Of course, everyone is laughing and scared at the same time. He climbs onto the turnbuckle, Ryan, and then the music stops, and Oishi just dies on top of the turnbuckle. And then Dino slides Nakamura for the victory there. Invented finish, I would say, for sure. Your typical, kind of comedic match here. Of course, the participants were Dan Shakodino, Makoto Oishi, and Saki Akai, who, you forget she was there. She did a few things, here and there, slapping her own teammate Dino to kind of start it until Dino started doing a monologue, Ryan. Yes, a monologue with a background music at Akito as he was having Oishi into a submission. It was bonkers as always, and Oashi has one of the greatest hairstyles in all of
these. Where was Antonio Honda? He wasn't in it?
No, he was not.
Huh.
Probably got the COVID, but speaking of not COVID, Damnation took on the new faction, which I have no idea how to pronounce, but the 37 Kamina?
Oh, yeah, the 37 Kamitana, I think it is.
Kamitana, which means, hey, we're going to, keep pretty much, we're going to keep our one group, but add just Mao, which isn't bad upgrade for All Out.
Send the Kito out, I think, and put in Mao.
Well, when you're the booker, right? This was...
Hey! I was trying to be the booker. I was trying to be Senshiro Takagi. The glass breaks. Hey!
Takashita gets the victory. German suplexes Mad Polly for the victory as the 37 Kamina? I'll get that right.
37.
Got the win over Damnation. I'm very mad though, Yuji Ino. That's my new gains, my gain level that I want to get to, which
tight.
I can probably achieve, especially when I go to repsports.com. Don't forget to use coupon code WrestleCast.
Yep.
Save 15%. Ryan, did you get your fun order yet? Are you getting on the gain train like me over here in Ortonville?
I have not, but I will be shortly. My plan is to start after Mania weekend because I know
not
I won't
gonna
do anything during Mania weekend. So.
I'm not going to lie. Over the beautiful weekend of weather, as I had some short-sleeve wrestling shirts and some fun Easter wear, it was nice that the arms can finally bulge out of these sleeves.
Yeah, because you're tight as fuck.
It's only going to get better. DDT 24th anniversary special single match. Hiroshima took on Yukio Sakaguchi. If you had to wager a guess, Ryan, who would win the Yakuza MMA warrior or the guy who spells his name in all caps but is a DDT legend?
DDT legend.
Oh, you are right. Quick. Shocking quick ending, Meteor by Hiroshima to take out Yukio Sakaguchi. I'm not kidding. This was maybe like, it seemed like 3 minutes. I don't know if that's right or not, but these special attraction matches that DDT and Dragon Gate seem to go fast and furious as that match was. Again, just the double knees by Hiroshima.
Hiroshima was just so tight, man. Like
it was
I love
battle the kicks and the
don't
feet.
Get me wrong. Like I'm not sure. Like I don't ever want to downplay Yukio Sakaguchi because I love him in Eruption. I think they're so good. But I mean, Hiroshima is just there's a reason that dude still continues to be pushed in that company.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he's just good.
Speaking of good, the KODH Man Tag Championship.
No.
Shinya Aoki, Super Sasadango Machine, Antonio Honda, and Kazuki Hirata are defending their KODH Man Tag Team Championships against
Chikara, the worst wrestler in the world. And then they finally realize Yukio Naya sucks. And they put him in this ragtag group.
But he's lost so much of that baby weight.
Yeah, and he looks like a doofus with that blonde hair.
But he's doing those backdrops.
And then that other little idiot running around, like the 4 foot tall guy who looks like he doesn't know what
Nabe Yakan.
Like, and then they win.
They win. And you know what's crazy here is Nabe Yakan was so excited. You know how excited he was, Ryan? UT levels when he comes out and does the dance with natural vibes. So you can't be all that mad at the new KOD 8-Man Tag Team Championships there. Because, yeah, they won. It happened.
When he
I love the different color belts. That was tight.
He was like...
Shall we dance tonight together? You and me wanna sing into the music with John.
Little natural vibes.
Peter Pan also announced for August 21st, 2021, it will be taking place at Fujitsu Stadium, Kawasaki. The first time Peter Pan will be outdoors. I don't believe they're saying it's a two-day event like 2020. Thank God. But what do you think about Peter Pan being at an outdoor arena?
Awesome. I think it's smart because I'm pretty sure it's a big venue from my knowledge. Yeah, hell yeah. You know, try to do something.
Omega versus Akiyama or Omega versus Tetsuya Endo?
That's so hard to say because it's like, obviously we want Endo versus Omega. But if you would have told me that there's an opportunity in my lifetime to see Jun Akiyama versus Kenny Omega, like, not as a Noah fanatic, I'm like, please.
But I just realized that might be too close to All Out to unfortunately happen. But you never know. It's still early.
You never. And here's the thing. Like, I'm not trying to be like the overly skeptical type, but who knows how the world's going to be in 3 months? You know.
Oh, I thought you had a statement after that too. You hyped it up so well, like WWE trying to hype their WrestleMania.
So like, let me ask you this. If Kenny Omega's vaccinated, is there any reason he can't go to and from?
That's what I'm thinking. He should be okay.
Yeah, like that's what I'm looking at. Like, if these guys are all vaccinated, you know, shit, yeah, why not let him go? Oh, you know, I know like the NBA is not making it mandatory, but if you choose to do it, you know, you can bring, you know, family with you. You know, we're giving you benefits if you do it. Like, if I'm Tony Khan, I'm going, look, I'm going to get everybody vaccinated. We're going to get vaccinated on a Thursday.
They have to be already all vaccinated, right? How have companies not brought that into them?
I don't know. I don't know what the leeway is they have there. Like, I don't know the pull that they have with things like that. I just don't know how that works. Nobody talks about it. And I think the reason they don't ever talk about it is, like, you don't want to be the wrestling promoter who's like, yeah, of course I bumped all my guys ahead of everybody, you know, random people to get them all vaccinated so we can continue business. Like, yeah, you want that to happen so you can keep your business going, because selfishly that's the whole point of a business. But you don't want to come off looking like a piece of shit. They're like, oh, since you have 50 guys on your roster, you took them away from 50 people in Jacksonville that could have used them. Like, you don't want to be that guy. You know, but to be fair too, it's like, yeah, hell yeah, I want to get my people done.
Well, it's like that event that's happening in like February, right? I don't know if it's Qatar, where it's like a bunch of AEW wrestlers and some former WWE wrestlers, but there's like a big, like, Kurt Angle's going to be there, Sammy Guevara's going to be there, like all this other stuff is like happening in February. It's like
weird.
There's quite a few.
In Qatar?
Qatar. Oh. Yeah, also, so it's QPW Super Slam 3, the Sammy Guevara, Brian Cage, the former, I'm assuming, Shitty Sin Cara, EC3, Will Ospreay, John Moxley, Mark Henry, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and Eric Bischoff as QPW's general manager will join Ali Al-Marafi at FIFA World Cup in 2022 in Doha, Qatar.
Wow. I didn't know Cutter got it like that. But I guess. I remember in FIFA 94 on the Genesis, Cutter was like a 48 overall. I was like, Whoa. That's not even a real country if they're that shitty at this game. But I used to use Germany and just whoop their ass with Bierhoff and Klinsmann.
With who?
Jurgen Klinsmann, the guy who was the coach of the U.S. team.
If I had the soundboard, I'd play something. not that one, but close. But as I mentioned, as we talked about the main event to start the segment, Danshaku Dino appears to be the next challenger. He is not of the liking of how Uncle June has been kind of put upon in the world of DDT Pro. So he's going to try to bring back the civil DDT that we all know and love. What are your thoughts on Uncle June's next challenger? And will his beautiful bald head touch any part of Dino's anus?
I don't want to sound like that guy, but I am not looking forward to this one bit. Like,
you don't want to see the teabagging spot? Do you think Jun Akiyama's going to go for that shit?
He's going to do it. Like, he'll do
or
it.
Or is this going to be a 4-minute Lesnar squash, as it should be? Exploder after exploder.
I remember that match that I kept trying to get you to watch. I still don't think to this day you watched. But it was some dude I've never heard of, Shima and Danshoko Dino in a three-way. And at one point they get Shima upside down. and they have his legs split open, like when he was part of M2K. And he's like, no. And they're like, ooh, M2K spot, but better. And then they just start massaging his dick for like 30
what?
Seconds. And I was like, damn, even Shima went in on this and did it. Like, you know, I got to talk to my man next time I see him here. But
is Dino the Joey Ryan of Japan, even though I realized him and Joey Ryan have been in many matches together?
Probably. But I think he's just nicer. He at least asked.
I think he's just nicer.
Oh. No, but like, I'm like, damn, man, I can't believe, I can't believe what's not to get down like this. I mean, but then again, Shiba's a carny, man. He'll do anything for a buck.
Yeah. Speaking of anything for a bust, only 5 teams this year in the Ultimate Tag League 2021. Kazusada Higuchi and Yukio Sakaguchi, of course, representing Eruption. Jun Akiyama and Makoto Oishi. Kanosuke Takashita and Shunma.
I'm surprised that Akiyama's not with Yusuke Okada.
Oh, you'll find out why here in a second. Takashita and Shunma Katsumata. Chris Brooks and Antonio Honda. What?
Can I guess it?
And yep.
Him and Yuki Ueno.
Yep. Daisuke Sasaki and Yuji Hino.
Holy shit, that's a team?
Yeah.
Oh my god, people are gonna die.
Which
oh
out of carelessness or muscle on the part of Damnation?
Both. Because Daisuke Sakamoto is just gonna be lariating people. And Yuji Hino's going to be like, fuck you. And he's just going to start powerbombing everybody. Oh, man, sign me the F word up.
Oh, no, Daisuke Sasaki, I said.
Oh, yeah, you did say that. That's still tight, though.
That's why I said carelessness. I
don't
think Sakamoto would appreciate that.
I apologize that I got really excited for nothing.
I mean, that's just team muscle right there. Jesus.
I apologize that I misheard you as I got like 40 as hell for this team. I was like, oh my god. Hino and Sakamoto.
Well, it could happen. I mean, they've tagged before since he is a part of Damnation, technically. Sakamoto.
Yep.
So,
yeah,
I mean, maybe it'll happen in 2022.
Well, Sakamoto wasn't in Damnation. It was Shuji Ishikawa.
Who's Sakamoto, like, a part of? There was, like, some random faction. I was like, what?
Well, he's in Strong BJ with Okabayashi.
I knew that. There was another. Anywho. 5 teams. This seems like, why only 5? Is this the lowest for any, like, tag league in the history of tag leagues?
I wish New Japan could follow this. Do you remember, like, 4 years ago when New Japan did a 16-team tag league, and it was only one block, so each team had 15 matches. Like at
and
one
I remember
point,
not watching
you
it.
Had like 26 points and shit. And I'm like, come on! Like, what are you doing here? Like, you literally just found people to put together because you you know, if we can do this many, why don't we try to do this many?
Yeah,
maybe we can do this many, and I'm just like, dude. Enough.
It sounds like a Gurukun mask.
Gurukun mask is tight. Dominating that Dragon Gate.
Pum bumps.
was that all of Judgment?
Yes.
I mean, I totally didn't mean to not watch it, and then I realized I didn't watch it.
It was a fine, quick watch. I mean, nothing groundbreaking. You know, you saw the main event there. You know, of course, no other titles minus the KODH man, you know. So, I mean, nothing too crazy. I mean, it was a nice, subtle watch. It was good, again, to reincorporate yourself with wrestlers of DDT and kind of seeing and checking in on them, which I like from time to time.
We did have two, the 36 Kamina. That's what they are. On the 3rd of April, Saki Akai defeated Antonio Honda to regain the DDT Iron Man Heavy Metal title. and also the six-man tag titles, Antonio Hondo, Keigo Nakamura, and Mao defeated Kazuki Hirata, Saki Akai, and Toru Owashi.
Mao.
So that just happened. Yeah, after the match, Akai took out Hondo and then took that title back. Dan Shogo Dino defeated Hideki Okatani. Eruption defeated Damnation. Paulie and Soma Takao. Main event had Junretsu Akiyama Noishi defeating the 37 Kamina, Shima Katsumata, and Yuki Ueno. This was the DDT Peanuts Are a Good Source of Protein 2021 show. In case anyone was wondering. And then Kalega, as for normal, runs every night of the week from that studio in Osaka.
Who?
Kalega. Every day they run. You can watch them all on YouTube, too.
Gleet?
Not Gleet, no. The opener of this one, Keiichi Sato, the bodyguard, defeated Daimon Jiso and Yuki Tanaka. Yoshihiro Horiguchi defeated Michio Kageyama. Saki defeated Momoa Hanazono. In the main event, oh, shit. Fuminori Abe and Shigehiro Irie defeated Joji Otani and Quiet Storm. That might have been tight. I might have to check out that Kalega show. That's the show that they run out of Osaka that's ran by the Bodyguard.
Bodyguard? Mm-hmm. But you still have that cool gray goatee?
Oh, yeah, and he sings on his way to the ring. DDT Boys Be Ambitious 2021 show happened.
Do you think the Bodyguard and Dick to Go would be a good match to have at an outdoor arena?
No. I'd rather watch the Chris Brooks produce show that happened instead. Well, did you catch the Brooks show?
No. He has a lot of them, by the way. I was confused. I was like, didn't they just have one? It was like
two
more coming up.
Yeah, third. This is Chris Brooks Produce 3, Danger and Pleasure Tour 96. We had Chris Brooks defending the Extreme title against Mecha Mummy. We had Hagane Shino, Makoto Ishii, and Men's Tail take on the 37 Kamina, Mao, and Yuki Ueno, and Keigo Nakamura. And your main event was Harashima against Balian Aki, who you still don't believe is real, who's part of Choco Pro. Gato move.
Choco Pro. You know what's great? You remember we thought Chris Brooks was a Death Rider for New Japan?
Yeah. Yeah, and we were excited as hell, though, to be fair.
But, like, Chris Brooks has totally found his stride, outside, of course, his Days of Progress and whatnot and having awesome matches in New York City. But, yeah, him and DDT have just been a fantastic, fantastic relationship.
Yeah, I can 100%
him and Takeshita had a flurry of great matches.
Yeah, I'm all over that. You're 100% right with that. Dude, Brooks is just... He's good, man. Chris Brooks
is
really good.
To any style.
And I'm just glad he found, he found that spot finally. You could tell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Nice.
Quick last note on DDT here. Do you think they are not impressed? Do you think they're, I don't know how to say this. I'll get to it later. Not impressed, but flattered, I suppose is the word. You think they're flattered that they utilize Legos in an AEW match, even though that's totally a Mao and Chris Brooks type of gimmick? Or do you think they're like, dude, why are you taking our gimmick and using it stateside and trying to make it yours?
I think a part of me says that they have that working relationship, so they try to bounce it, or they try to keep up on each other's things if people have a good idea. I also, to be honest, if they even saw it, I don't think they really care if they even paid attention to it.
Like, I'm surprised, if they did, Excalibur didn't say, oh, Shades of Mao, or, something like that.
Like, if I was, hey, if I was him, and somebody was like, whoa, did you see AEW's Legos on their show? I'd go, okay. have they used the folding chair before too? Okay, whatever. Did they use plastic crates? I'd be more pissed off about.
Yeah. No, that they're saving that for Double or Nothing.
Ah!
You remember when the Pinnacle was booked as this awesome faction out of like 22 factions that AEW has, and then the Inner Circle comes back like after a week and they still have like a month and a half till Double or Nothing. So what's the point of the feud?
You want a really controversial take that I don't know if you'll agree with?
Okay.
I thought last week's Dynamite was one of the best weeks of American television wrestling.
You say that like every other week.
Do I?
Yeah.
They're doing it then. They just keep winning me over. I like
the Arcade Asylum match. I did not think I was, but I had a lot of fun with outlandish as it was. Chris Statlander, God bless her.
See? Look at you popping. Look at you just popping.
But some of the other like the QT Marshall is annoying.
I like it.
Why did Red Velvet... If she didn't turn on Cody, what was the point? Really, she's going to stop after they just manhandled everyone? She's going to make them stop?
Because I think they're building Red Velvet. I think they got something with her and they figured it out. I think she's good. Like, I shouldn't say she's good, but like when she hit that huge dive in the Shaq match and landed it perfectly, you genuinely could see that she wasn't just trying to, all right, let's go, St. Paul, you know, to pop the crowd after the move. Like, she genuinely was jacked as fuck that she pulled that off.
Yeah.
And I think they looked at that and went, okay, this girl really wants to do something with herself. She really wants to be here. Let's use her. Like, because you can't just train that passion. But this is the thing, AEW, here's another example. Tay Conte was in WWE for 3 years and was one of the worst wrestlers in the world. She's been in AEW for 8 months, and she's 10 times better than she was there.
It's that jiu-jitsu, man.
It's proof that this Performance Center farce is dog shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it literally is. When I say arm drag class, it literally is. Or promo class. They don't teach them how to work.
They can't even cut a promo.
No, they can't. And they can't work. Why do you have promo class when you're going to write lines for them?
I love how they said, oh, we made Riddle, you know, not remember his lines. That was part of his act.
Oh, it's just stupid. Like, I'm not going to lie.
Mania, WrestleMania preview show coming live tomorrow night.
Yeah, you're not going to want to miss that shit. When we talk about how Apollo Crews is going to beat him so loud it sounds like a drum. That's why it's a Nigerian drum fight. Meanwhile, Biggie Langston, it's like, if they botch our finish, don't hit you with 7 angle slams. My bump card's going to inspire, bro. Like, even Thompson, after that second one, he's like, okay, that's enough. And then he does it again, and he's like, fuck, stop. Just put
gotta bridge up,
to
man.
Me. I swear Big E's looking at him going, can you just put the boots to me? Like, you're just slaughtering me in a post-match for no reason. Like, I'm not having fun here. But anyway, that's beside the point. I I've been so desensitized to this crap, and all I do is talk smack about it. Yet, I don't know what it was about MJF opening the bathroom, and they're all standing in there, and he closed it, and he goes, we got to go, that I popped. I genuinely popped.
It was well done, but again, it doesn't have to be a week. Like, you have a long time to build to this.
I do agree with that.
Now, what the Pinnacle has to do now, they literally have to murder to get their heat back, because after delivering great promos and backstage stuff to build this Pinnacle, you know, faction into, okay, horseman-esque, like, you know, territory, they just get murdered on TV in a cinematic thing. Again, I popped this. I thought it was great. You know, the signage is out. But you do that like the week before your pay-per-view, or you do it during your pay-per-view? Start the match.
The only thing that I will say in defense of that is the Horsemen showed ass a lot on the standard television. where they would go, okay, we're going to come back next week and we're going to figure out how to get one up on Dusty. Because Dusty would counter him. I'm not trying to say I agree, because in a way you're right. I do think it was a little quick to do it, but I tend to trust these long drawn out angles that this company does. I tend to think, okay, yes, I might not have agreed with it, but unlike WWE where it's something like, oh, quick, we just kicked out half of our number one faction and the best thing we had going in our television, the Hurt Business. Quick, let's put Baron Corbin in it. That'll work. I don't want Baron Corbin. Like,
wait,
why?
Did they really break up the Hurt Business? The best thing they've had during
the whole
year?
They blame Shelton and Cedric for letting McIntyre beat him in a handicap to get the title shot at Mania. So then they like beat him up, and then Baron Corbin came out and beat him up too and joined the group. So now they're like, God, this group is so over, we can put Corbin in it. That'll work. Like, no, stop putting Baron Corbin in everything. God, why is he?
That's our next shirt. Stop putting Baron Corbin in everything.
He's like a parasite that just doesn't. It's like Tajiri. Like, why is Tajiri in Total Eclipse? Like, Jay badass.
I spent like 98 ECW Tajiri. Yeah. Like, whoa, like, hold on.
Like right now, like, you know, because
he's the Booker man. That's why.
Oh my God, I hate it. I flipping can't stand it. It just drives me fucking nuts. Like, why is Tajiri in everything?
He's
like his way in there.
And in a way, in like the kind of the, not the promo, but you know, your screenshot of the match, like where it shows like your faction versus faction. He's like in the background, but still in the forefront, if that makes sense. Where it's like Tajiri, and he's like looking up, but like his image is still like more forward than like your more main guys of each faction. You're like, what? One of these things are definitely not like the other 50-year-old Tajiri Booker man.
Like, come Friday, you know, that's another thing that I don't think we realize too. Friday and Saturday and Sunday are the first three nights of the Champion Carnival.
What?
So we also have that on the docket. And
I'd rather watch that than Mania.
Yeah, no shit. I am all hands on deck. Let's go. Jake Lee needs to win this damn thing. Just do it and let's see what you got.
Wait, is it just a three-day tournament?
No, it's the 9th, 10th, and 11th. 17th, 18th, 24th, 25th, 28th, 29th, and then the third is the last night.
So is Okabayashi just on the first two shows and then the final three?
Like last one time? I got to go through the strong climb, our other bracket in Big Japan, but I'll come back and finish. But I just, like, I want Jake Lee to win this goddamn tournament. He needs to win this thing. You got to push him. This is the time he needs to beat Suwama. But all I can think about is Tajiri's going to be standing there like, ha, ha, ha. I'm like, oh, damn it. Why is Tajiri always here?
Yeah.
And then
not even using the mist.
Like, I'm like, hell yeah. The one of the biggest things I'm excited about in WWE is Bobby Lashley, because it's the first guy that they don't have to make everybody fucking 50-50 with them. He wins one week and loses the next week. No, he beat the Miz's ass 5 weeks in a row. Hell yeah. This is called pushing somebody in pro wrestling, Vince. You have them win consecutive weeks in a row, not lose Monday, win the following Monday. This is, you have a push commodity for once here. And then they just like, oh, fuck it, let's tag Baron Corbin with him. No, why are you doing this? Come on. Ah.
Oh, that's funny.
And we also have a Corkin show on Friday for Dragon Gate, by the way.
Ooh.
And it's got English commentary live, so I have a feeling.
Jay and Ho-Ho-Loon.
God, they were fantastic on the last show.
Yeah, where did you get the English commentary? I searched high and low. Until
it was the English
Japan.
Commentary was under the like catch-up one.
See, I clicked that and then it like went nowhere, so I just went back to the Japanese one.
Oh man, that when they're talking about Hip Hop Kakuna and Ben
Whoa.
K, and he's like
silence.
Do you think Hip Hop Kakuna has all of his trunk? Or what did he say? He's like Jay's like Kakuna continuing to use that wide frame, if you call it that, And he's like, do you think Kakuta has to make different tights every match? Because he's got this big ass.
Match picked up, but crowd not invested until later on. Then it ended.
You know what the problem was? The whole show, the crowd was like that for almost the most part.
Loved Kakuta's face as he landed that pile driver. Needs to work on heelish tendencies to draw heat. Match. Fine.
You know, here's a question for you. I guess we can transition to Dragon Gate so we don't have to talk about Baron fucking Corbin anymore. Do you notice how, again, sometimes taller guys, I'd like to call it, minus Shin Skywalker, like a lot of the, like Strong Machine J was another example of this. I don't know if it's just he doesn't work well with the size because he can't throw him around, or if it's just if he's not in there, if he has the Charlotte Flair syndrome where he can only.
I think it's that.
And you know where I'm getting with Ben Kay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I just.
100%.
Ben Kay goes out there with Shin Skywalker and it's fantastic. He's out there with KZ and it's fantastic. But then like.
Ada, his matches with Ada Ada's a leader.
Look at him and Naruki Doi. We had that in our match of the year nomination. I didn't even think about that one. But then, like, he wrestles Strong Machine J, and you're just kind of like, like, they tried. You know, his match with Kakuta, like, all right, they tried. They worked well, but, like, it's kind of a letdown. I think it's still like three and a half, but.
That's why I always say or pegged him as the Roman Reigns of Dragon Gate, because you could see some early on Roman Reigns matches, depending on who he was with, were strong, solid bouts. And then the ones where he was supposed to be the guy, it was just all right, you know, kind of in the vein of Ben Kay. Where this match, you know, again, if the crowd was allowed to be more into it, because they were working this match like it was in front of, like, 12,000 screaming fans. So I can't give anything against the wrestlers with Ben Kay and Hip Hop Kakuta, but it was just so freaking weird for silence because they were they were trying every inch of the way. The heel was even, you know, Hip Hop Kakuta was, you know, trying to get everyone into it, and the crowd was just on their hands. And so, like I said, they're like, oh, wait, we can, you know, New Japan, they clap, and, you know, they just finally got it. But like I said,
it wasn't even like
then the pile driver
right?
happened, and it ended.
You know, I'm looking at Cage Match, and Ben Kay's average rating in 2018 was a 9 out of 10. His average rating in 2019, 9.33. Average rating in 2020, 9.47. Average rating in 2021 is a 9.0. Like, people genuinely think he is one of the top wrestlers in the world. His match with Hip Hop Kakuta is getting a 5.71.
Out of 5?
Out of 10. Cage Match goes up with 10. So, like, he hovers, like, around, like, a 4.5 star average per year.
Now check his match with Strong Machine J.
Let me,
and Super Sasadango Machine J.
I don't think he wrestled that. I'm just kidding.
Cross right, promotion.
Strong Machine. 20 piece of shit.
I wonder what his highest match would be. That'd be interesting.
Probably
that Joy
match. Yeah. Strong.
Speaking of Joy, we had a preview of a mask versus mask match that will definitely happen sometime soon, as we had a 6-man tag match of Ultimo Dragon, Boku Tomo Dragon, and Ryo Saito, the I would say hands down best dressed wrestler in all of the biz, taking on RED members BB Hawk, Kaito Ishida, Kickboy himself, Diamante. My God, this seemed like this was a match where I forgot Kaito Ishida was even in half of the time. And then also when he would pop up, I'm like, oh, my God, Kickboy's relegated into the second match on the card. You know, it was a nice tag match. Of course, again, the big focal points being of Boku Tomo Dragon and Diamante as they were snatching each other's masks, were one time, Ryan. They were both on the floor. They come back in wearing each other's masks, which was kind of a fun thing there. But, of course, counters back and forth. Counter pins, that is. Boku got thrown into the ref, and then Diamante dick kicks him. Goes for the pin, but the ref is down. They both, again, go for the masks, which they are wearing each other's, their opponents, that is. As the ref tries to stop them, Bokutimo Dragon yanks Diamante's mask, even though technically it's his own. Ref calls for the bell. Confusion lies, but RED picks up the victory there. You know, fun, you know, like I said, narrative heading on to a match versus mask match. But Ryan, obviously Bokutimo Dragon will probably lose that. So does that mean Team Boku will be no more?
Most likely. I think one thing too got to bring up is I think they goofed the finish. I think Diamante couldn't get his Bokutimo Dragon's mask off. And finally, when they couldn't get the mask off, they just called a DQ and said, screw it, just had them win. Like,
What is the WWE doing to the world of Pyro now?
Because, like, if you notice, Bokutimo kept trying to knock it off himself for a second there. I was like, oh, I don't think anyone knows what's going on. And they even asked him, like, they're like, I think it's a DQ. Jay's like, and the whole load's like, oh, he took off his mask, so he is a disqualified. It's like, oh, okay, thank you, Hololud.
So the tail...
By the way, just to give it slight love, Natural Vibes, Genki Horiguchi, KZ, Sumio Kosuke, and UT in the opener came out doing their baller-ass dance when they made their way to the ring. They defeated Gurukin Mask, Hololud, Punch Tomonaga, and Shashioko Bo. We got to put over our guy, Hololud, who halfway through the second match started commentary. Just, you know, he lost in the opener, and then he made his commentary table.
It's usually his gimmick. I loved when he was in the Battle Royal, and he went straight to commentary.
Didn't take his gimmicks off or nothing. You could see him in the background, like, asking people where he's supposed to go.
He's like, all right, I'm out. Oh, man.
He's just, oh, he still have a mask on, so it's a DQ. Oh,
so are all roads, of course, Dead or Alive is coming up in May, I believe, and that's the big faction cage one?
Yeah, 3rd or 6th? Yeah, it's that first Friday in May.
So does this mean...
Dead or Alive this year has Bokutimo Diamante.
Okay.
It then has a place to tag match between Kai and Yamato.
Ooh.
Against... Dragon Kid and SB Kento. So the enemies are tagging with each other.
The losing team
then has a one-on-one match where the loser gets their head shaved or mask removed if you're Dragon Kid, which I think SB Kento's getting shaved.
Maybe not.
The semi-main event.
Oh, Yamato's got to get his win back. So, yeah, I suppose.
And then your semi-main event on that show is the Dreamgate title match with Hip Hop Kakuta, which we saw at the end of the show. That was the most violent and largest hip attack I've ever seen in my life. Like, did you watch the post match?
Yes.
So, I guess we're going to jump to the main event. We'll get back to the time difference tornado and the twin gate. But Shun Skywalker defeats Kazuma Sakamoto 19 minutes, 18 seconds after, as he's being presented the title, Hip Hop Kakuta murders him with the jumping hip attack. I don't think Shun Skywalker had a choice on that bump. and should have saw this coming too when he beat Ben K. Like, I was like, damn, I can't believe he beat Ben K. And then I'm like, oh, how did I not see that coming?
So if he runs all through RED, like, what does that mean for RED in the long run?
I'm not.
He's gone through, three of their dudes already?
Yeah, if you count Ada, yep. You know, he's not going to win. I still think Yamato is going to be the guy to beat him, probably at Kobe World. Because after Dead or Alive, I think it's either Kobe or it's Dangerous Gate after it. But
and they're not a part of that super show in June, right?
Not that I know of, no. But I got to tell you, man, I went like 4.5 on this match. I thought Kazuma Sakamoto literally did everything that I had been putting him over, being that like big mark for him where nobody else has really been, where I'm just like jokingly like, ah, I love Sakamoto. He's tight. Like, holy shit, was this great, man.
Oh, he played the heavy fantastic. A credible opponent that made Skywalker look great. I mean, in all honesty. I mean, he was the perfect foil for, you know, what is this, his second defense? Third defense. I thought this was a damn good main event, you know, in the vein of Akiyama and Higuchi.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think this might be the second best Dragon Gate match of the year.
Of the year?
Yeah. I think this is second only to Ishida and Skywalker.
Wow, you went the whole 5 on that one, huh?
I think I went 4.75 on that one. But I couldn't believe how
I can't believe you put Sakamoto it over was. the reckoning that Kai did in the three-way Wakayama tornado match.
You know,
Hurricane
that match
Kai.
That was fun, but it took a while to get going.
What, 60 seconds per person?
Well, like, but I mean, they didn't, you know, it took like 5-6 minutes before they're like, all right, now we'll start doing things.
Well, yeah, but it was just, to me, it wasn't like, we just saw a match like this like 2 shows ago, where I was just like, oh, yeah, you have all these members of these factions going one-on-one and then 3-on-3 and yada, yada, which, you know, was fine. The story, of course, is Kai, you know, getting
yep.
in that heat before Dead or Alive here, which was awesome to see him just take control and just get win after win after win. So I thought that was a pretty awesome thing to see heading into that match there. Plus, you know, that's good in high end, but they were just, to be real, being dominated by R.E.D.
Yep. And, you know, and Kaisi Okuda kind of felt like Kaito Ishida did in the other 6-man for you, where I don't remember him doing anything whatsoever that was worth a damn.
Yeah.
But I will say once again, work rate wise, I think the best in-ring performer this company has had all year, and he continues to do this now 4 months in, is Jason Lee. Every time he's in this ring, I'm like, oh my God, he's so flipping good.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything he does. And this is him taking submission, STF losses to Kickboy, you know, show after show after show before this, building him up for Skywalker. It's just every match Jason Lee's in, I'm like, he was the MVP of that match. Like, you know, he's not going out there having, you know, match of the year and shit, but like he's just so consistently good. I'm like, dude,
mm-hmm. He knows
man,
how to
Jason
control
Lee
a tempo. He could turn
yeah.
it on or he could slow it down, but yeah, he definitely knows how to control a match for sure.
He's your, without getting the notoriety of like a main eventer, he is your Christian Cage of this company.
He's outworking everyone, right?
Yeah. Like I by the way, Loki, I think that's such a dope slang. How he comes in after leaving the WWE again, after they put him on the map for being on the Rumble, and he was like, thanks for the quick rub. And then he's just like, I'm here to outwork everybody. Like, that's a total shot at that company.
Oh, totally.
I love it.
Well deserved.
His match with Kazarian had some iffy spots, I think, just because they've never touched before. But, I mean, I didn't expect him to come in and go 20 minutes almost in his first match. So,
but isn't that such a weird matchup? Like, you throw Kazarian, who's a notable talented performer, an ageless wonder, perhaps. But to me, like, that's such a match that you build to. Like, you don't throw the boss, like, right away. And I thought
yep.
it was just a weird position for both guys because you want Christian to outwork everyone and be dominant and not have a 2-segment, you know, type of opening, you know, first match. It's the Asuka-Emma, you know, kind of theory there where you want Christian to face like a Leon Ruff type I know it's totally different companies. I can't think of the other guy. But anyways, you want him just to, like, beat him down, shake his hand, and say, hey, I just outworked you, bro. And then you lead up to a Kazarian, like, 3 weeks in.
Were you trying to compare Leon Ruff to that big shoddy Lee?
No, maybe. No.
Stop. That's fucked up. By the way, that's another reason I'm all over this QT Marshall thing. Is because I like that. I think that shoddy Lee dude's going to be, like, I think he's talented.
Whoa, more talented than the Daredevil, Derek Fury?
Yes.
What? That guy's the EWI champ.
I don't think he's even champ of that company anymore.
Damn, they booted him?
I don't even know who the champion is out there.
The future Endeavor him?
He's wrestling. Him and Joe are going to wrestle on Friday.
Joe still wrestles?
He's going to be. This thing is first match back.
So you're coming back then?
Not at the moment. I need to lose about 60 pounds first.
You know how you can do it. Go to repsports.com. REPP sports.com. Use the coupon code WrestleCast, CAST, with checkout 15% off. Honestly, guys and gals, I haven't felt
to
look better in ages. What's up?
What do I need to buy?
You definitely will have to get the RPC, that pre-workout booster there. You kind of take it right when you whip in the morning. Boost there also can help in other areas. And then also gives that little extra boost in more ways than one, I should say. The creatine, which I've also taken, again, kind of, you know, you take that an hour beforehand and definitely gives you that extra boost when you hit the gym or in the morning as well and just, you know, on your off days. And then the Whey Plus, fantastic flavors. I have the Choco Loco, even though that's probably not the name. But what's nice about this whey, Ryan, I don't know if you ever had these problems before with other wheys in your past. I think it's clumpy, you know, it just kind of, you know, can clump together. Sometimes it doesn't taste all well. Stuff materializes. There's like some crystallization in their whey that is really good. It mixes easily and quick. And it tastes really damn good, really good flavors. Over again at Rep Sports, REPPSports.com. Again, promo coupon code WrestleCast, 15% off. It is awesome. Plus the Rage Energy drinks, which you have a lot to say about.
I think that's
with
great.
All the
really
flavors.
Like, yeah, I think the Rage is really good. Yeah, I'm gonna put it in order next Friday, since this weekend I'll be partaking in Mania festivities to help me get through watching said Mania.
Wait, and so Luke's he's going to go wrestle during Mania?
Luke's bringing chili. So yeah, they always run show. Demetrius hates it because they run, like, it's the fucking Canelo Golovkin 2. Let's run a wrestling show. It's Wrestle Kingdom. Let's run a wrestling show. It's WrestleMania. Let's run, like, he books, like, every time there's something big that happens. He's like,
but he's nowhere near any of these events, so no one cares.
But, like, there's a big UFC on pay-per-view. Let's run a wrestling show. People can still go to the bar, like, and watch that shit, you know?
Yeah.
So I know Demetrius gets a little heated because he never gets to come watch all these events, but it is what it is.
Damn.
Oh, Silver Surfatress. But, yeah, I mean, tag title match. The thing I had said to you about it was, I guarantee you it's not going to be anything like mind-blowing, but I bet it'll be nice and fun. And I'm really digging Takashi Yoshida as a babyface.
Why do you look 15 years younger? Sans facial, by the way.
My new print supervisor looks like Takashi Yoshida. It's great.
Yeah.
He's got the exact same hair and then, like, the little fuzz on the face. And he's got that, like, I got punched in the face 6 times face. It's so good.
Dubbed this the dad's match leading up to it. But then again, Yoshida was, you know, just in the ring. And I'm like, who's that young gentleman with these other three older dudes?
Senpai. Senpai.
Kong.
That was fun. It was a good match.
Yeah,
great game.
It was fun.
Fun little show. Once again, though, I'm telling you, man, I don't know what it was about Kazuma Sakamoto, but I thought he was tremendous, man. I dug every moment of Sakamoto.
He was definitely that guy you don't want to, you know, like I said, that Kazarian type thing where you want him as your third defense. You don't want him right away. You don't want him at the end. You want him just to, like, kind of gain credibility to the guy that you're trying to build. And I think he did it tremendously for shooting Skywalker. Yeah. When Skywalker delivered the Tilt-A-Whirl powerbomb gimmick.
The SSW?
Match, my God, everything was just beautiful. Again, he made Skywalker look like a gajillion space bucks.
Well, and he got him up for that, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
I was not expecting him to be able to, like, get Kazuma up and throw him around like that. Like, I was like, dude, let's go, man. And I'll tell you what, if this is what Kazuma Sakamoto is going to be, like, if this is what we're going to get the rest, like, you know, going forward, like, dude, I want to see what he can do. Like, I want to see some other stuff with him. And I'm not going to lie to you, I wouldn't mind seeing Kazuma Sakamoto getting a face rub.
Whoa.
He's
the one who's going to be ousted of R.E.D. next.
I don't think it'd be that bad. Like, he was great. He was really good in this match.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That's just my big takeaway from this event. But why don't we go into Sakura Genesis here?
Well, the internet had a few big takeaways. Not only did New Japan Strong, of course, New Japan USA, AOK, their brand over on Friday nights introduced a new New Japan Strong heavyweight, open weight, whatever the hell you want to call it, championship belt that will be awarded to the New Japan Cup USA winner. But also, they unveiled, or I should say, the god, Kota Ibushi, unveiled the new IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. Met with a lot of criticism, met with a lot of laughter, met with a lot of memes, but also with prestigious history of the past belts there. Ryan, what are your thoughts, or what were your thoughts then, and what are your thoughts now, almost a week later, of after unveiling of the new IWGP World Heavyweight Championship?
You know, I don't like the title. I think the title looks dumb, but I'll get used to it. Everybody will get used to it. It just is what it is. I just hate the fact that they got rid of the lineage.
Really?
That's the worst part. Is now, like when they're doing, you know, the big countdown video and they're showing, you know, they would show all the previous champions, like, you can't show that stuff now.
But it's a mashup. That's what the belt signifies.
Yet Kota Ibushi is being considered the first champion. Starting a brand new lineage. Like, and also, so otherwise, are they saying that it's now combined lineage? Because then that means you're telling me that MVP means the same as, like, Kensuke Sasaki.
Whoa. I hope so.
You see where I'm going? Like, if you're combining the lineage, then MVP is as important to this company as Antonio Inoki.
Whoa. I would hope not.
I would hope not, too, but that's kind of what you're saying by, you know, not you, but what New Japan's saying. If we combine the lineage together, okay, well, then you're telling me everybody who was an IC champion is now on the same level as everybody who was IWGP heavyweight champion. You're telling me Kazuchika Okada and Montel Vontavious Porter are the same level.
What about Bob Sapp and Shinsuke Nakamura?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Sapp at least won the heavyweight title. But I'm just combining, you know, IC with it and saying, you know, let's not forget that, you know, they had MVP as their first champion.
What about La Sombra?
He's tight.
Did you see all that new merch?
What is that, Pro Wrestling Tees?
Yeah, there's like new shirts. But you can decide over 9 different shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/WrestleCasts. $19.99, 9 different designs. Go help support Boom Shakalaka. Go support also the Grand Prix S1, which just finished up over a little week ago over at Pro Wrestling Summit, twitch.tv/WrestleCastRadio every Friday night, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. The Ides of March is over as April's, I can't think of anything witty at the moment. It's coming into play.
Last week was our year anniversary. This Friday is the year anniversary show, so this is our last show of year one, and my computer crashed.
Whoa.
And then it came back up, and then we ran the show for a little bit, and then I proceeded to fall asleep for the next 2.5 hours on stream, which was really tight.
Nice. That's classic right
there. The whole time I did that, too, I had, like, 10 viewers in the stream the entire time, like, commentating, like, all the weird things I was doing. At one point, I, like, pulled my shirt up over and started rubbing my chest.
Yeah, you did that when I was there a month ago. It was really interesting. You like lift your shirt up, and your stomach would just be out, and be like, and I'm like, what is happening? Is he in Inception?
and
you would like rub your stomach, and then you would like sleep, and then you would like roll your shirt down. And, like, 2 in the morning. And,
yeah, so in the midst of all this, I woke back up. And when I woke back up, everyone's like, give us the main event, because I fell asleep during the setup, which was Zero and Joe Okada. Look, the main event was R.E.D., Eita, Kaito Ishida, Hip Hop Kakuta, and SP Kento against the 3 people that Eita continuously defeats, Will Ospreay, Adam Cole, Kaito Kiyomiya, yeah, Will Ospreay, and then their 4th, which was Kento Miyahara, who was your S1 Grand Prix winner and defeated Walter at the Ides of March. And then Eita, Critical, broke essentially Kento Miyahara's arm, and Eita got the victory again. He just doesn't lose. He just can't lose. So that was our wild show we had.
Justice for Eita. Is what I said.
Yeah. Heath Miller, I thought, was a football player.
Whoa.
Oh, that's Heath Slater. He has a shirt that says, I will put you over.
Who? Heath Slater.
And then he also has a shirt that says, I still got kids. I wish they'd be done with that guy.
Isn't that like gimmick print?
I don't know. Yeah, not everyone else has a fiance who can get you get rid of your 90-day no compete clause and keep your gimmick for you. Look, we decided Charlotte Flair is like, she's like the ultimate like hood bitch. Like she rides or dies for her man.
Yeah,
she's
all about it.
She's still I still think she's an overrated wrestler, but I appreciate what she did for El Idolo.
What else I appreciate? New Japan coming back with Sakura Genesis.
Wait for that one.
Sonata, Shingo, and Tetsuya Naito, or shall I say T-Shirtsuya Naito, taking on the United... I didn't see the first 2 matches, so I just saw like the final 4. But this match that I did stumble upon first at like 4:30 in the morning... So the newest member X of the United Empire, the United Kingdom, what are they called? Undisputed Kingdom.
The United Empire.
Great Okan, Jeff Cobb, and X came out in what I thought was a really, really good trios match. And I don't know if Aaron Hanare was doing his best Juice Robinson 2020 gimmick, appreciation, or his Masahiro Chono glasses look. But I don't know what it did, but it definitely made him a viable threat, as he is X, as we have both called out a few shows ago, who we thought who was going to be the newest member here. And boy, did they dominate. And by they, I mean Jeff Cobb dominates L.I.J. in this match. My God, it was nice to see it, because I was like, who's going to be the fall guy in this match? I was like, it's either going to be Okan or Sonata. Of course, Sonata being the guy to take the fall here as he takes a tour of the islands into that crazy Hanare DVD for the win there. And Hanare again, the repackaging of one Toa Hanare. No more the whatever smiling New Zealand gimmick he had, a la the smiling Hawaiian gimmick that Jeff Cobb once had. So these three, along with William Ospreay, definitely making some big moves. Again, everything, you know, post Wrestle Kingdom after they were all taking L's, seems like they definitely stepped up into the win column in this six-man tag match.
Yeah, this was good. Like, I was hoping it was Hanare, because I truly thought last year, had COVID not happened, they were going to do something with Hanare. So I'm glad they're using him. I thought he looked like a badass. Some people kind of didn't like it and kind of criticized it a little bit. But I say the same thing I did with Great Okan when I said Okan's going to be a star. So you just got to just organically let it ride itself out for a couple months, and it'll be fine. You know, it's just like Jay White. It'll be fine. So everyone that's nervous about the Hanare thing, they'll be okay. He has more charisma than Sonata, who I don't think people have picked up on this, but Sonata's taunt, like to hype you up, is he puts his finger behind his ear, right? To like,
yep,
say, I can't hear you, but the crowd can't cheer. So you're, yeah, I don't get it. I don't know what to say. He's an idiot. But it was going back
to Noah.
Sure, we can't go back to Russell. Maybe we'll go back to Impact.
He said sure.
I'm just over Sonata. Yeah. Real quick, we had Suzuki Goon members Doki Taichi and Zack Sabre defeat Jado Tamatanga and Tangaloa, and then we had Hiroki Goto, Kazuchika Okada, Tomohiro Ishii, Toru Yano, Yoshihashi defeat Dick Togo, Evil Kenta, Taiji Ishimori, and Yujiro Takahashi.
Hmm.
Then we had another nothing match. Hiroshi Tanahashi and Satoshi Kojima defeating Bad Luck Fale and Jay White. This match went for 10 minutes. Cool. I don't have anything. This is like a 2.5-star match. Like, what do you want from me?
Yeah.
Did you have any take out of it? No,
I mean, it was a little bit more enjoyable than I expected. I mean, I just, it is what it was. It's, you know, we're going to get Jay White and Tanahashi. Is Jay White going to be the first, like, Grand Slam winner in New Japan? We'll find
out.
That's
what I said. Yeah. Like, I enjoyed Tanahashi, you know, doing the cool relief and cutting the promo on Jay White. I thought that was funny. Like, that was pretty cool. Jay Tap.
Hey, he's cutting it in English. Yeah. That was pretty good.
Sho and Yo Rabungi 3K defeat El Desperado Yoshino Kanemaru.
Loved it.
Whatever.
Match of the year, man.
Look, I'm glad you thought that.
I wish I had a piano ballad or a piano I could just like bash my hands on for the theme song.
You love the new theme. You're like, God damn it.
I thought Sho was going to turn on Sho during this match. But, of course, that did not happen. As the melodic cast showcased within the match here, as we have a new IWGP Junior Tag Team Heavyweight, whatever you want to call it, champions.
And then all of a sudden we get flipping, you know, Sho comes out looking like a bootleg Kushida.
Now, why do you say that? Because of the black hair? He was wearing an orange vest. He didn't jump out of a DeLorean.
He's wearing these, like, board shorts with a sleeve. And, you know, I would have liked it a lot more if he would have at least put, like, a wristband on his right arm.
Ooh.
For some reason, having a naked arm like that in wrestling just annoys me. I don't know why. I have no idea why that annoys me.
Wait, it didn't annoy you that the heel master was busting the knee and injured leg of Yo while he was out for 9 months, and then he played, you know, the injured victim throughout the last half of the match until, of course, he jump kicks and does all these moves to eventually win the match as he hit that random corkscrew DDT to Kanemaru to, again, get the victory there for, would you say, five-time champions they are now?
Yeah, I think they're four or five.
Hot potato. What do we do with all these championships? Do we just migrate everyone into one division since, you know, two belts are one?
Sure. I don't know. I'm sorry, man. I don't know. The company's just weird, man. It's becoming weird to me, and I don't know what to make of it.
That's what I've been saying for years.
You have it. Look, I think I honest to God think like the, Trevor Murdoch was on the latest SWE Fury show that I didn't watch. Rodney Mack is the TV champion, and Charlie Haas is the heavyweight champion.
Wow.
In, SWE. It's this company in Texas that I watch. Melina brought out Kaz XL on the last one. I got a lot of time.
I don't know what that means.
I got a lot of time.
Oh, Kaz XL. Gotcha. I thought you. Yeah. I thought you meant friend Kaz. The guys in Texas.
No, I don't know what it was. Ever since Naito won the belt, I feel like this company. Like that boom period from 2012 to Okada dropping the title to Naito has kind of just made me feel like it's a different company.
Oh,
and I'm not even saying that trying to be a homer for Okada, but I just, it doesn't feel like, it feels like that boom part's gone now.
So you're saying I'll be right in the world where the money clip is applied while the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship is around this week, correct?
Potentially. We'll see.
I mean, he can't continue to use that move to finish matches with his champ, right?
Challenge is out first!
There we go.
I don't know what's going on here.
It's the 3K gimmicks.
I'm looking at them as champions here. And one guy's wearing black and white with a knee pad that just says 3. Doesn't say Roppongi or K. It just says 3. Board shorts. I'm assuming he has tights on underneath. And then a basketball sleeve. And then his partner's wearing yellow and black trunks with yellow and black knee pads and black boots. Like, they don't even look like a tag team anymore. One of them doesn't even have anything to do with Roppongi 3K on his gear.
No. Shout out to Rocky Romero.
Yeah, they sure told him they're done being everybody's done 3K. Oh, this show is just mediocre. I liked the main event. I went like 4.5 on the main event. It was cool. Like, it was good.
Why does Ospreay have Ibushi's number? Like, when has that become the story?
I had been saying for weeks that Ospreay is winning. Because the more and more you look at Kota Ibushi, I mean, he wins the G1, loses. Wins the G1, gets the briefcase taken away, gets a courtesy match to get back in the match. He's just a geek. I love Kota Ibushi. He's a fantastic worker. But he's not a champion. He's not your guy. And I'm glad
they gave
him
an opportunity. He doesn't need the championship is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, he just... Like, I'm glad they gave him an opportunity with it to see what happened, but... It's like Big Tom Ishii. He doesn't need. That's not what he does. It's not him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't.
But then what's
I
his
want,
point of company?
I mean, like.
He's wrestled everyone. He signed a contract with his blood, so he's there for life. Like, what do you do?
he gets to have good matches and make a lot of money. Isn't that why you do a career?
He's wrestled everyone on this roster, if not multiple times already. He's tagged with everyone, it seems like, that he can tag with, you know, since he's a freelancer, you know, of the faction world in New Japan. So
maybe
what the hell is
he
going to do?
AEW. Maybe they send him to AEW for a little bit and try to get him to, you know, maybe, why don't you do a Moxley for a Bushi talent swap?
Whoa.
Seriously.
Did you trade them?
Yeah, do it for like 6 months.
It was kind of funny to see a new IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, Will Ospreay, declare God is dead, God is dead, God is dead on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, I was like, ugh. First you RKO your wife, no. You know?
He's going on that classic 80s, 90s heat right there. Oh, boy.
promo as Greg Valentine.
I thought this was a fine match. Of course, you know, they did the infamous spot where Ibushi, you know, thought he has the one-ups as he flipped, you know, Will Ospreay off the top rope. Ospreay lands on his feet. He does look behind him. Of course, Ibushi's like, oh, no. And then it was all from there. Of course, you had your last few minutes, you know, there they're going back and forth. Until, of course, Ospreay nailed a bunch of, you know, heel kicks to Ibushi to make him loopy there. Until, of course, the hidden blade into the Stormbreaker. But we'll have to see some aspects of the Aerial Assassin, those moonsaults. One while Ibushi was hanging over the ropes, and then the other, of course,
yeah, shooting star
the
press.
Regular position.
Awesome
shooting star
on the
press.
Rope.
Thank you.
Yeah. And they had a really good couple sequences of back-and-forth moves and counters, like where Ibushi did a strike rush, and when he went for that spin kick to the midsection, Will Ospreay spun away from him and then forearmed him on as they both kind of met face-to-face. Like, I was like, dude, I don't know how many times I could have practiced that. I would have screwed that up.
One specialized galore.
So it was a fun match. I was not shocked that Ospreay won. I was like, it's just, Ibushi doesn't move the needle. You can have Ospreay win. You can have him hold the title for a coffee cup. You know, he can beat Shingo, and then you can have him put it on Okada.
Who had a more impressive championship run in your definition? Kota Ibushi, evil in 2020.
Kota Ibushi, because he had the Ospreay match, he had the Desperado match, he had the defense against who else? He had two other defenses that I'm forgetting. The Jay White one, and holy crap, why am I forgetting his title defenses?
He's had that but many?
I thought he had three. I thought Desperado was the third. Let's see. He defeated Desperado. He defeated Tetsuya Naito. He defeated Sonata. And he defeated Naito to win, and then he defended against Jay White.
Ah, Jay White.
So, yeah, I mean, he had the Naito match, the Jay White match, he had the Sonata match, he had the Desu match. He had four title matches before this.
Title change. Yeah, holy moly. That's Sonata. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, because nobody cares. And that match was like 28 minutes long, dude. Like, dude. I tell everybody this that isn't us when I talk about this. Everyone's like, oh, my God, how cool is it when Shingo snatched the mic from Okada? And my number one answer is I've been trying to tell you people to watch Dragon Gate for the last 2 years because everything that you love about Shingo is what everybody else in this company does for storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no company that can tell a better angle than Dragon Gate. That's why Shingo comes off looking like $1 million in everything he does in this company. Because he was doing this for 10 years.
even coming out with Okada to challenge Ospreay for, you know, to be next in line. Really fun just to see those three. And then, you know, Shingo saying, oh, Okada, I beat you in the first round in the New Japan Cup, so I deserve the title shot. Where Ospreay, in fairness, called out Kazuchika Okada for revenge at Wrestle Kingdom, which is like, what? Why are you challenging people for your championship?
Man, like, Shingo's like, I don't in a care. Way.
Yeah.
And that's what I like, too. And then and it worked, too, because it gave Ospreay the, once I'm done with Shingo, I'm coming for you.
Yeah.
And so, I like that they're doing that. Because you got to, like, they're making sure people don't forget that Okada is still the guy.
Well, they better if they want to sell that dome to 25% capacity.
Yeah, and it's the whole reason they went with Okada. I mean, it was going to be Okada.
But who else are you going to run that's going to draw big with Ospreay besides
Naito.
Romo?
Naito.
He's look done. He's not going to get another title shot ever. Come on.
Like, look at, let me see here. Matches.
Would Naito benefit from an excursion, do you think, to New Japan or to AEW?
I don't know. The dude already had two excursions. Can he really, is he really going to do anymore? You know? Look, but I mean,
well,
the reason I say
excursion, a talent exchange. I was just saying excursion as their terminology, but as a talent exchange. Do you think he would benefit for being, you know, 5-6 months in the States?
Yeah, I mean, but he's over, like, Rover over there. I mean, you look at, I'm going back to my example show, the New Beginning in Osaka 2020, opening match, Roppongi 3K successfully defend the tag titles against El Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemaru. Weird. Didn't we just see that? but your main event, I forgot how great the show was. That's why I put it on that match of the year list. Hiromu, Ryu Lee, Moxley, Suzuki, and then Naito Kenta. You know, they ran Osaka Joe Hall outside of running Dominion with Naito on top against Kenta. And they drew over 11,000 people in that building. Like, they usually don't crack. Like, Castle Attack this year. What did we? Mm-hmm. What did you say, 25% capacity?
Yeah, I would say so.
Castle Attack didn't even get to 2,000.
No.
Night two did 3,200, but the first night did 1,800. And you know what the difference was? The Castle Attack night two had Naito in the main event. Night one had Okada in the main event with Evil.
Whoa.
Naito's
so Evil's not a draw.
Yeah, I think that too. But, I mean, it's Naito is a draw in Japan. He's hugely over in Japan. So that's why I think it's, you know, if you're going to do something, and I think they realize that Okada is the better bet to be your champion than Naito, so that's why they're going Okada. I mean, don't forget, guys, he's got two slip discs. So I don't know how he's going to be able to do this. But
damn you working me with that gimmick, with that angle.
You know, because obviously there's no way they could be healed already, although they're not talking about them, so they must have miraculously healed each other. You know? Oh, I love it. That's the Kurt Genesis. You got anything else you want to chat? Or are we going to actually
wrap up on WrestleCast Pro Edition? Also, don't forget to grab your shirt over at ProWrestlingTees.com/WrestleCast and pose the question to your wrestling friends or anyone in general. Do you even Puro Bro? Represented nicely as I did with my wonderful tank top version of that as I was walking in the streets of O-Town.
Oh, you're tight as fuck. So tomorrow night, we got to figure out what time do you want to come back tomorrow?
Earlier the better.
Okay, you just got to let me know what time I need to leave work.
Oh, yeah. Well, I should be off, like, I should be home by, like, 6:30.
So you're trying to do 7?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, 7 o'clock tomorrow night, we're going to come back. We'll preview both NXT shows. We'll preview both WrestleMania shows. We'll do a quick, like, runaway
GCW
train.
GCW Collective?
Yeah, we'll do a runway train through the indies, talking all those. I think if anything is out, we should maybe talk, just kind of bring up the Dragon Gate Corican show, because it's got English commentary, it's at Corican. I feel like something's going to have to happen on this show, so it's kind of intriguing me.
Okay.
But we also got to slip in. I mean, this might be a three-hour show. I'm not going to lie to you tomorrow. We got to slip in. Champions Carnival starts on Friday.
Oh.
We got to talk Carnival.
Agreed.
Can't ignore Carnival, because I feel like this year we're going to be back to normal business, even though it's still one block. But I feel like we'll be back to normal business. So we're going to talk Carnival. We'll do the WrestleMania week. We're not going to talk about the Hall of Fame, because I don't give a shit. Like, even though Liger, is Liger even going to be on this now?
No, God, no.
Well, that went quick.
But
glad you got inducted last year. Okay. Oh, what do you know? I just went on EWI or E-Wrestling News, and the top header, Rhea Ripley and Asuka implode during tag match. Oh, wow. They put opponents together as a tag match.
That old storyline.
We've never done this before.
Wait a second. What is the lineup for the 9th for the Krugen show?
Cool. This Wednesday, fucking Hangman Page. Did you see who his opponent is?
Uh-uh.
Hey, yo. Max Caster, baby, from the I love me Max Caster, man. I think he rocks. You like Max Caster?
Yeah, the Acclaim dude.
Yeah, he comes out rapping.
Yeah.
I think he's awesome. Like he wrestles like just basic enough that I really dig it. But man, hey yo. Like when he was he's like, you're gonna take shots harder than Lady Gaga's dog walkers. I was like, goddamn!
Oh,
it looks like the Mask versus Mask is at the Corican show. Diamante Bokudo Dragon. And then the Naruki Doi comeback is also at the April 9th Corican. It's Doi Dragon Kid Yamato against Kai Hip Hop Kakuta and SB Kento.
Ooh. Okay. This could be some good stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of good stuff, before we go, I want to get your take. The Battle of the Best in the World is happening. As we remember, in 2020, CM Punk was asked, hey, who would you like to wrestle? And one of those answers was Will Ospreay. And William Ospreay, as he's known today, essentially kind of threw out a challenge to this, Second City Savior, CM Punk there, kind of saying, hey, you want to be the best in the world? I have the championship, the best championship in all of professional wrestling here. If you want to prove it, come at me. Of course, I think this is a possibility. But then, of course, Triple H comments on CM Punk as he's making headlines yet again in the IWC. So where do we see CM Punk if he does make a return, Ryan? New Japan, AEW, or the WWE?
I'm going to say he ain't returning nowhere.
In the marks.
I mean, he would have done it by now, I think.
What match do you think him and Ospreay could actually have a match worthy to come out of retirement?
I think they could. Yeah, hell yeah, because they're both a pro's pro, and they're both arguably the best in the field when they were active. Yeah, I have no doubt that they would be fantastic opponents. I do got a stat for you, Alex. In the month of April, May, and June, do you know how many shows Dragon Gate's running?
22.
13 in June, 19 in May, and 15 in April.
Jesus.
Yeah, This is why, when I once again, when I say that Dragon Gate's the number two promotion in Japan, this is why. Because they run that many shows a month because they get that many, like, they sell tickets to all of it.
And that's, like, not even tournaments.
Yeah, they're just running shows. April 3rd.
Hey, Naruki, you always got to get that silver hair money, so I totally get it.
Like they're doing like May 1st in Osaka, the Ideon 2. The 2nd and 3rd, they're doing KBS Hall, the one with the pane glass, like, church.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The 4th, they're running Aichi at Bunka Hall. And then on the 5th, they're running an Aichi at the Sexual Gym, the big building, General Line. The 7th at Korakuen. 8th at Shizuoka. 9th, they're going to Sambo Hall in Hyogo. 15th and 16th in Fukuoka. The 19th in Chiba. 21st, 23rd, 22nd, 23rd, they're doing a weekend triple shot in Hokkaido. 24th, also in Hokkaido in a different building. 25th in Sendai. 26th in Nagata. 29th in Aichi. And the 30th in Hiroshima.
And then I totally understand the gimmick of KZ now. You keep those natural vibes going when you're on tour that much. You got to keep the heart and... UT will definitely do that.
It's like they're just so good, man. Like, their company, they get it. It's so great. I'm so glad.
Hey, if I watch 1/20th of those shows, I'll be proud of myself. For Brian, yeah. I am Alex. We will see you guys for a Big Up Mania week, a preview show tomorrow, or whenever you download that show, these shows into the future. For Ryan, again, I am Alex. Check us out on Twitter at WrestleCast_SSM. Follow us, like us, love us on Facebook, WrestleCast Radio. We're doing a little bit around there. It's fun. And then also all the other stuff we marked out about earlier on. Thank you, Ryan. Hey, two shows in 2 days. It's going to be fun. I think we're back on track.
Yes,
just not
are.
The Braun Strowman track.
Who has... He attacks the people now.
Oh, God, gross. A cage match? We'll get into that tomorrow. Yeah. Deuces.
Bye.